An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her handle to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is like fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes them linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I appreciate you being here this morning. If any man is tempted to question the wisdom of God, it only is because that man has never paused long enough to consider God's remarkable creation called woman. When God saw Adam alone, it was the first time in all of creation he said it was not good. Eve was his crowning achievement, and then it says, and it was good. My life would not be what it is today if not for the women in my life. First, obviously, is my late mother. Although married, she did not have much support except her own father and mother in raising four boys to love and serve God. Her influence still lives on in me. I would not function very well without the love of my life, my wife, Jo. We've had our ups and downs, our struggles, our quiet times, but most definitely time of laughter. The past couple of months have brought a renewal of our love for each other. I am deeply and profoundly affected by the love of my two adult daughters. I marvel at how well God has molded them into beautiful young ladies. There are many, both in the religious world and in the non-religious world, who want to rip apart the Bible and its author and authors as being chauvinistic pigs. Even a recent comment on my blog that I shows the ignorance of that accusatory stance. God and His Word give women the highest place of honor. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is in vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. Several years ago, I did what we were about to do this morning. We were still in the complex, and we may have actually done it the first Mother's Day here. But not since 2011 have I done this. You see, as a man, I can speak to men. That's understandable. But I've always felt like speaking to women on Mother's Day was sort of like having my teeth pulled. Or getting hit by a car while riding my bike. Neither are good prospects, and they are not feel-good times. The past couple of years, I've done generic Mother's Day sermons. I told someone yesterday during our breakfast, I hesitate preaching on Mother's Day because either I'm a male chauvinist trying to tell women how to be ladies, or someone will look at it as though I'm trying to make a point to certain people. So I decided to try again what we did back several years ago. I asked for help. And I know some of you think I need help more than I ask. And for reasons other than preaching. But I knew this was the time to change things up a bit. And so I asked three women, all from different stages of life, to help me. I asked them to speak on being a mom. But when it came down to it, they asked me, I said, just speak from your heart. You choose your own topic. Although I did make a suggestion to all of them. In fact, I made suggestions to two of them. Diana said, yes, she would. And Joe said, no, she wouldn't. I guess that shows you how much weight and influence I have at home. I have no idea what Amy or Joe are speaking about this morning. Amy told me, then I understand she pulled the woman's prerogative and changed her mind. And then Joe has kept hers under lock and key, except for her closing. And Diana shared hers with me, so I do know what she's speaking about. But I understand from Friday that she changed that some too. So, that's called woman's prerogative. Anyway, the format I'm going to offer is to allow the ladies to say their piece. For me to make a short comment after that, very little, and then to turn over to the next person. I believe strongly that you'd rather hear from them anyway, so the less of me is the better. And so I'd like to introduce the first young, to me, the young lady, to you, Amy Hamlin. And Amy's going to tell you first about her family, and then she's going to talk to you about what it means to her. Well, I guess to be a mom, and whatever her topic is, which I have no clue what it is. Amy.
First, I want to know, where'd you get that picture? Joe!
I am not taking the blame for everything.
Well, I am not a public speaker, so I have chosen to read what I have. And I'm speaking on trusting God. So Bill trusted God to get me up here. When Bill asked me to speak about motherhood, I felt very overwhelmed and underqualified. I have not been on this motherhood journey as long as many of you, and I know I still have a lot to learn and experience as a mother. So as I thought and prayed about what to do, God kept bringing to mind what he had been showing me and teaching me in recent years, trusting him. And he reminded me of a mother from the Bible that I have always identified with and admired, Hannah, the mother of Samuel. I was first attracted to Hannah because she was barren and had prayed earnestly to God for a son. Dan and I had trouble conceiving for years and prayed earnestly to God for a child. It was during this period that I learned about and connected with Hannah and her great faith in God. Well, God heard our prayers and blessed us with a precious son, Luke, just before our 8th wedding anniversary. Then he blessed us with two more precious children, Levi and Calissa, not long after. God also blessed Hannah with a son, Samuel, and later additional children as well. When Hannah prayed for her son, she also promised God she would give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She kept her promise. When Samuel was weaned at about 3 years old in their culture, she took him to the temple and presented him to Eli the priest to serve in the house of the Lord. She left him there at 3 years old, her precious, longed for, prayed for, only son. Hannah trusted God. I also thought I trusted God. I had given my children to God when they were born. While they were small, I could, for the most part, protect them physically, mentally, and emotionally, and I did. I could require right behavior, or they would receive a consequence. And for the most part, they were compliant. I thought I was relying on God. As the kids grew older, their worlds expanded. I am no longer able to always protect them physically, mentally, emotionally, and especially not spiritually. I can't even be with them for most of the day while they're at school. Situations happen in their worlds that I have no control over. I sometimes see attitudes and hear hurtful words come from my kids that break my heart. About 2 years ago, I was realizing how limited I am in the lives of my children and became anxious about it. I can't always protect my kids, I can't change their hearts, and I don't have the wisdom to handle many situations that come up. I cried out to God for help. He started showing me that I had given my kids to him, but had taken them back. I was relying on my own ability and my own wisdom in raising my children instead of his. I needed to understand how big he is, and I needed to trust him with my kids, just like Hannah had done with Samuel. This experience sent me on a journey of rediscovering how big God is and how he can be trusted with my everything, especially my children. I think Hannah already knew how big God was, and that's why she trusted him. You see, Eli's sons were also priests in the house of the Lord, but the Bible describes them as wicked men. One version even calls them scoundrels, and they had no regard for the Lord. Can you imagine leaving your precious 3-year-old son with Eli, under Eli's authority, knowing his own sons were wicked and had no regard for the Lord? Hannah must have known that God was big enough and mighty enough to protect Samuel while he was growing up, and mighty enough to make him into a godly man despite his possible surroundings. Hannah trusted in God's ability to lead Samuel's heart, even when those around him were not following. This is the God I have been rediscovering and trusting with my children. He is the God who's bigger than all my circumstances and problems. He is the God who spoke the world into existence, parted the Red Sea, raised Lazarus from the dead, calmed the storm, walked on water, suffered and died for my sins, conquered sin and death, loves the world. With God, all things are possible. He can do more than we ask or imagine. He works all things together for our good. He knows what we need before we even ask him. God is love, and love never fails. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He is mighty to save and rejoices over us with gladness. He is the giver of wisdom. All we have to do is ask. He's in the business of changing hearts. He changed Saul, a murderer of Christians, into Paul, an apostle of Christ who wrote most of our New Testament. He is a big God who can be trusted with my children. God loves my children more than I humanly can. He can protect them no matter where they are and knows exactly how to reach their hearts no matter how they've strayed. Hannah definitely trusted this awesome God with Samuel, and God protected Samuel while he was growing up. The Bible says the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel was called to fill many different roles: judge, priest, prophet, and counselor. He anointed the first two kings of Israel and is listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. God can definitely be trusted. Hannah's story reminds us that our children are really God's and are only on loan to us for a short season. I know that I need God's help, and I need to fully trust him in order to be the mom that my children need during the short season that they are in my home. Then I also know I will be on a whole new level of trusting him when it's time for my children to leave the nest. I'm going to close with a poem prayer that sums up what I think it means to be a mother who trusts God with her children. And I hope I can get through this. It's called "With These Hands." With these hands, I gently cradled this child, held him close to my heart, nursed his wounds and calmed her fears. Held the books that I would read and rocked this child fast asleep. With these hands, I made his lunches and drove the car that carried her to school, snapped endless pictures, wrapped countless gifts, then did my best to assemble those gifts, combed his hair and wiped her tear, let her know that I was near to nurse his wounds and heal her heart when it would break. With these hands, I made mistakes, and with these hands, and with these hands, I prayed and prayed and prayed. These hands are feeble. These hands are worn. These hands can no longer calm the storms. These hands have done all they can do. These hands now release this child, my child, to you. For your hands are able. Your hands are strong. Your hands alone can calm the storms. Your hands will continue to do what they are so gifted to do, to shape his life and make her new. Into your hands receive this child. For my child, I now give back to you. In the strong name of Jesus, and with all my heart, I pray. Amen.
Family Dan, Luke, Levi, and Calissa. With a mother like that, you boys, you lady, you don't have a chance. It's never easy to trust, is it? And basically, what Amy has said is so true, is that as you raise your children, you have to trust. You can only do so much for them. And then there comes a point in time where you release them. It's kind of like the bird, you know, you release them, let them fly, and you say, "Oh God, I did what I could do, now they're yours." So thank you, Amy, so much for sharing your heart. And you guys are blessed. Okay, the next one, you've seen her around here. She's here occasionally. And I asked Diana if she would specifically speak on being a warrior. We have had long talks about this subject over the last year or so, and I knew where her heart was, and I asked her, and she was the one that said, "Yes, I'll do that." You know Diana, and she'll introduce her family to you as she talks. So would you welcome Diana, please?
Good morning. I'm nervous. Well, not everyone here knows me. A lot of you know me as the church secretary, but I just wanted to give you a little history. My husband Jim and I have been married almost 28 years. We have two sons, Jake and Eli. We have a future daughter-in-law, Brandy. I'm real excited about that. We have another special young lady in our lives, Miss Jaden. And to say that I'm crazy about them is kind of an understatement. One look in my office, then you know. I also just wanted to say thank you to my mom and dad, Lynn and Maddie. They've put up with me for almost 50 years. And my mom has just been such a good example to me of what a good daughter and wife and mother can be. And I'm sorry if I embarrassed you, I had to say it. Bill, as he said, asked me to speak today about what it means to be a warrior. As a woman, a wife, and a mother, and I never really thought of myself as a warrior until the last couple of years, and then I found this image. It's called Armor of God by Christine Carrick, and it was just came up on my Pinterest one day, and I thought, wow, I mean, it's just a sketch, but she looks strong. And so she's kind of become my visual reminder of strength and courage. But I believe that God has given all women a warrior's heart. And life is hard, but he's equipped us to serve in many areas, to survive all kinds of things, to bear amazing pain, both emotional and physical, to nurture the ones we love and be warriors for our friends and families. And some things I wanted to share about realizing your warrior's heart that I have learned in my life is that when you overcome things as a woman, even if it's a lifelong effort, you're a warrior. When you pray for your husband and fight for your marriage, when you work hard at whatever you do, when you cry out to God for your children, when you think you can't go on one more moment and you persevere, when you encourage a friend, those are all things that make you a warrior. And there are so many ways that we are warriors as women. So don't discount the strength that God's given you and never give up, because you will slip and fall along the way. You may even get broken, but God will always carry you through and put you back together again. He uses everything in our lives for something good, even if it takes a while for us to see it. We get worn out because we're warriors. Ann Voskamp said in her book, 1,000 Gifts, it's the life in between that makes us the wild walking dead. We get so caught up in everything that we can miss life. I'm guilty of that too, and there's a reason. My papa changed my nickname from Rosebud to Wormy. Sometimes I just need to be still and take a breath, and I'm not very good at it. but it's necessary. My hubby has called me small but mighty, but I want to encourage every woman here that you are mighty. And it doesn't matter how old you are, young or old, you are mighty, whether you see yourself that way or not. So what can you do as a warrior? If you have children, pray for them, encourage them, praise them, and give them boundaries as best you can. Fight for your marriage. Make every effort to pray daily for your husband and show him his worth. And guys, please do this for us too, because we need it. Watch out for your parents. If you still have them in your lives, the older I get, the more I realize we need to do that. And take care of yourself, because we're not very much good to anybody if we don't take care of ourselves. And find other godly women to spend time with and encourage each other. And be thankful in everything, even little things, because it is amazing how it changes your perspective. Levi Lesko said in his book, Through the Eyes of a Lion, run towards the roar. He said, don't run away from your battles, because he isn't scared of what we are scared of. And take a few minutes every day to talk to God, even if you're just driving down the road. I just wanted to leave you with a couple of things, and I have to give credit to Pinterest for some of these because they're just things that I liked. But my mom always has said, this too shall pass. Whenever I'm going through something, she always says that. But a funny twist that I found on this the other day says, it may pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass. Always wear your invisible crown. The giant in front of you is never bigger than the God who lives in you. If you see something beautiful in someone, speak it. A smile is the prettiest thing you can wear. One small crack does not mean that you are broken. It means you were put to the test and you didn't fall apart. The enemy whispers, you can't withstand the storm. But the warrior replies, I am the storm. Suffering is not an obstacle, but an opportunity to be used by God. And do small things with great love. I certainly don't have it all together, but I'm working on it every day. And if you have any questions about some of the books I've been reading, feel free to talk to me, because I just have this feeling in my heart to encourage other women, so I would love to share with you. Thank you.
Honey, can you click on that image and make it bigger? Does it work that way? I didn't know if you could or not. If you want to see it, there is a picture of it in Diana's office. There it is. And she could, if you want a copy of that, she could show you where to find it at. It is from ImageKind, is where it comes from. And so it's a phenomenal picture of a woman warrior. Okay, thanks, Diana. You know, sometimes we look at, we call women the weaker sex. I don't like that term, because I've seen some women who could beat me to a pulp. And what Diana said is true. You guys have been equipped to carry and deal with a lot of pain, a lot more pain than many men could ever hope to carry, or ever hope to deal with. But you are a warrior. Don't ever forget that. You have within you a warrior's heart. And Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God. I want you, ladies, I want to challenge you, go there and ask God to put that armor on you so that you can become a warrior for Him. And that you can fight for your marriage, you can fight for your family, you can fight for your kids, you can fight for your job, you can be strong. And so I hope that you will take Diana's words to heart. Okay, the last speaker I'm somewhat familiar with, just like almost 44 years worth next month, but I asked her to speak on something and she said no. So, like I said, you can see how much weight and influence I have at home. But she's going to come up and talk to you about I Don't Have a Clue. because she has kept it under lock and key, and she's not told me what she's going to say. So Hun?
The one thing I did tell him is if I start crying, he's going to have to go.
Okay, I am nervous also, like the other two. I am not a speaker. I would rather be back in the corner. But anyway, I'm here. It is Mother's Day, and I'm sure you're expecting a few words on my life as a mother and wife. We do have two amazing daughters who we are so proud of, a son-in-law that we love like he was our son, and of course a grandson who stole our hearts the moment we met him. And you who've had new grandbabies know what that is. And I have a husband who is my best friend. All of this is true, but when Bill asked me to speak today, my family was on my heart and mind, but it wasn't what was dominating my heart. So he asked me, and I said, I don't think so. But of course, I couldn't quit thinking about what he had asked of me. I believe God had other plans for me, plans to tell the story I was living at the moment. I literally said out loud, God, why and what would I even say that anyone would want to hear? But what was going through my mind, thank you, Ryan.
Pay no attention to the midline.
What was going through my mind were the things that I were experiencing at that time. And that was Bill's two accidents. They brought emotions to the surface I was not ready to talk about. But what else was I going through at the moment but this? So my first thought was, how was I handling the accidents? Honestly, not very well. Anxiety and fear were daily emotions for me. This is why I said no. Well, yeah, that too. So I set out to find out how I could come to terms with the idea that Bill could have died or at the very least be paralyzed. Emotions that were foreign to me. It was hard to breathe at times. And crying was one thing I had down pat. Just ask Bill. But I woke up one day and I decided it was time to move forward, to leave it all behind. But just because I decided this, is that what happened? No, it wasn't easy at all, and still is not easy. I continued to dwell on the what-ifs and the whys, only to realize that I was not letting go. I needed to realize that in those times of anxiety and fear, I had to choose to believe God and trust in His promises rather than trust my feelings. Again, easier said than done. I needed to pinpoint why my feelings were overtaking me rather than trusting God. A few days later, Linda St. John and I attended the women's retreat at Hilltop Camp. One of the speakers gave an illustration that I would like to share with you. A grandmother was caring for her little grandson. He had a big playroom filled with all kinds of really cool toys. Electronic toys, Star Wars lightsabers, stuffed animals, and various balls were everywhere. But every time she peeked in to check on him, he was playing with a cheap little blow-up beach ball, probably one his mommy had gotten from the dollar store. Grandma was curious to see what he would say when she asked, "What's your favorite toy, Johnny?" He looked up at with a big smile and said, "Well, that's easy. It's my beach ball." "Really?" she said. "You've got some really cool toys. Why is that one your favorite?" He replied, "That's easy too. It's because it has my mommy's breath in it." That phrase hit me in a way that seemed to take my breath away, because that's what I needed. The father that gave me breath from the very beginning of my life. The father that would give me freedom from the emotional roller coaster I was on. Freedom from the what ifs and the whys of the accidents. My father's breath in me to give me hope and peace. So began a daily prayer of thankfulness and a prayer for hope and peace. Am I totally free of all the conflicting emotions? Absolutely not. And that's in capital letters. There are days when I win the battles and days that I don't. It is and probably always will be a daily prayer for me. But without a doubt, I know we were given a second chance. his husband and wife, and his parents. Excuse me. And as we both move forward, we will begin to heal emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And that we will have to be patient with each other. Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Today, Amy, Diana, and I have spoken on circumstances and situations that have affected us personally. And I'm sure we all hope you know our hearts a little more than you did when we came in today. I read this quote this past week, and I would like to share it with you. Don't wait until there's chaos in your life to know what his voice sounds like. A while back, I heard a song entitled Just Breathe by Johnny Diaz, a song that is about our busy lives and how we need to focus on God and to just breathe. Breathe in the breath of God, the calming spirit of God. I'm going to be playing it right now, and I would like for you to, the words are up there, and you'll be able to follow. Just listen to the words of the song and take them to heart. Thank you.
Good lesson for all of us. Just breathe. And I think the words to the song are appropriate for all of us. And as Joe has mentioned, the last couple of months have been soul-searching for us to realize that twice in 3 months I could have either been dead or paralyzed. But the Bible does say that all things work together for good. That doesn't mean everything that happened is good. It means that God takes what happens and can use it for good. And in this case, He has. He has slowed me down drastically. He has slowed us down. And we have renewed our love for each other and look forward to the next 44 years. Well, maybe not. that would be really old. But we'll take one at a time, right? What's that?
Not be able to walk at all.
No, we'll just take one at a time, one day at a time. But I hope that the three ladies that have talked to you have shared, as they have shared their heart, you've found something to latch onto. Guys, it's easy for us to look back and say, you know, this was all the women's stuff. No, it's not. We have been blessed with an immense treasure, amazing treasure. As for our moms, our wives, our grandmothers, you know, one of the most influential women in my life was not even a member of my family. It was a lady in the courtyard who found this seventh grader and said, "Hi, my name's Ada John. Ada Jane, what's yours?" I said, "My name's Bill." She said, "Why don't you come in and have some cookies?" And every time I went up there, there was no bakes or chocolate chip cookies that I could go in and have at any time. But she also shared Jesus with me. And she's in heaven now. And she has influenced tons of kids at that courtyard. So we've all been influenced by ladies in our lives. And I'm not just talking about to the husbands, I'm talking about to the women as well. And we need to not forget that. Amy, thank you for talking about faithfulness. You know, we all struggle with faithfulness in different ways. Diana, thanks for talking about being a warrior. We all need to fight, all of us, men and women. We need to fight for our families. We need to fight for those we love. We need to fight for Jesus. And then finally, of course, you know, I don't know how to thank you enough. But we all need to breathe. So I'm going to ask you to do this so I can do it too. How about taking a deep breath? Okay, good. We've done something different today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you've been blessed by it, and it has been meaningful to you. I hope you'll take the time to thank the ladies for their efforts and for the work that they put into this. But I want to lead us into communion because, you know, every one of them wanted us to realize God's power in our lives, whether it's through waiting and the faithfulness that God saw in Hannah and then blessed her with a child, whether it's putting on the armor of God and fighting, wearing a shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, along with everything else, the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girded about with truth, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, all of those. You fight for God. You fight for your families. And then finally, what Joe has shared is that you fight for everything. You fight for your marriage. You fight for your life. You fight for time to be with Him. Allow Him to renew you and make you new people. And that was accomplished at the cross. Because at the cross, Jesus gave His life so that you and I can have life. And He trusted His Father to raise Him from the dead. You know? And he listened to all that was said about him, how he was spit on, how he was hit, and all the accusations that came. The Bible says he never said a word, but it said he died. And he gave his life for me and you. And so that's the point of communion, is to remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And so we invite you to take part with us. If you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, we invite you to take part with us. What we do is we will distribute the communion, and then I'll come back up and we will take communion together for those of you who may be new. So as this communion is being distributed, I'm going to ask you to be calm, to just breathe, and to talk to God and thank Him for who Jesus is and what He has done for us.